Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Tom Anastasi's here. I've been saying that for 8 years. Tom's been hanging out with us that long. He's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. He's a professor of organizational behavior at Boston University. He's been helping small business owners now for decades and decades, working with SBDCs and SCORE. He's the author of The Successful Entrepreneur. He's our good friend, Tom Anastasi. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. Wonderful to be back.
It's great to have you back, Tom, as always. One of the things we've been talking about on the show, well, we talk every week about this, and that's our customers and all the different aspects, all the different multifaceted relationship that we have with our customers. And you know, earlier in the week we were talking about how to love up your customers, and I told the joke about the woman who the elderly woman who asked her husband why he didn't say he loved her anymore. He said, "I told you I loved you on our wedding day, and nothing's changed." I was saying, just like wives or anybody, customers like to hear that you love them. they like to hear you love them every day, don't they? They don't want you to. You can't do it once. You got to keep doing that. You got to keep loving them up. And one of the advantages of doing that is what you want to talk about today, and that's getting them to help you, right?
Yeah, and customers, especially people who do a lot of business with you, really want to help. I do a lot of marketing research for small businesses, and there's two ways to do it. The practical way is to come up with a whole bunch of questions and ask people who have never done business with you before.
Tom, hold on. I know you're in the country because you're joining us on your vacation, but your connection is a little bit weak. If you could make sure you hold the phone close by. You're in and out.
You got it.
So there you go. That's a good one. All right, give it. Now go again.
All right, cool. So one of the things is that if you classically marketing research, you come up with some questions for a new idea, and then you sample people that don't know anything about you. You tell them a little bit about you, and they say, yeah, this is, and there's a lot of value to that. But what I always tell small business people is first, survey your own customers, because they know all about your business. They love you. They want you to succeed, because customers want businesses to succeed because they depend on them. And if you can find somewhere between 5 to 12, 7, 8 is maybe that sweet spot, they will tell you everything you need to know, what they love about you, and any ways you can improve. And you get unbelievable amounts of information. And you usually just have to, you know, buy a dozen donuts or something like that.
Right.
And you don't really need much more. One thing is that it's usually better to have somebody else do it.
Right.
Because I think people are much more willing to open up if they're not talking to the owner. Mm-hmm. So find, you know, a marketing professor or find a marketing student.
You don't want to sound like verbal. You don't want to sound like you're fishing for compliments.
Right. Right. And I mean, which is good. I mean, it's also good to know about the things that you're doing well, and they will tell you that, but they'll also tell you ways to improve, but in a very loving manner.
Well, it's okay for the company, for the customer to know that you're the one who are asking the questions. You're behind the questions being asked. It's, as you say, though, it's just better if somebody else asked it, because because what you want, you don't want people to tell you they love you if they don't.
Exactly. And then, so when I've done it, I usually have the owner there at the beginning, just welcoming people, or there at the end, thanking them, and then they just kind of, you know, get out.
So you have,
sometimes we'll videotape
it. Do you think the that's an important thing. Let's talk about the venue. Let's stop a minute and talk about that a little bit. So are you saying that you invite them in as a group, or you invite them in one at a time, or could you
as a group, definitely as a group.
So
the focus group.
Focus group is what I was trying to say. Like a focus group. Do you want each one of them to hear the other's answers?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And then, so what happened? The one thing is that you don't want to have customers who are, have had struggles or something like that, because they can actually derail the whole thing. So you want to find just a random sampling of people who have done business and are happy with you. And now, by the way, but dealing with people who have challenges, and every business has customers that have challenges. You want to deal with those one to one separately. So that's definitely a whole different thing. And the other thing is that when you start, definitely have a questionnaire plan of maybe, let's say, 12 to 15 questions. So that way you can get some quantitative as well as qualitative data.
How many questions? How many questions? You shouldn't have too many, right?
No, I would say 12 to 15 is about right.
Yeah, I no more than 15. My thinking is, if they're really solid questions, I think 10 is plenty.
Yeah, I mean, that's
fine. You don't want them to get tired.
And you might get some demographic questions on top of that. And there are so many programs that you can use to that people can use their phones with that it's nice and easy that way, because everyone's going to bring their phone, so it's very easy to get the data.
And you mentioned the demographic information. I think that's important. And that's one way you can get away with more than 10 questions. You can have 10 substance questions and 4 or 5 demographic questions. But do you when they turn their answers in, so to speak, you don't have their names, right? They don't identify themselves.
No, so those are always anonymous. So you don't want to ask people questions, survey questions with any type of identifier attached to it.
Right.
So those are anonymous questions, and then you can actually, with technology today, if they throw them on the phone, you can actually have their responses and use the responses to generate some questions.
Right. No, you can get the technology today to be able to do everything in real time and actually let them contribute and participate in the overall results. They can see what happens from the group. When we come back, I'm going to get Tom to talk to us about, all right, now that the thing's done, we've done it, it's over. What do we do with the results? How do we get the results, and what do we do with them after the break? Tom Anastasi and I will be right back. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. And by the way, his website is Tom Anastasi.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.